reading. Let's turn, with God's help, to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 24. And desire to begin with verse 14 and read through 24. Joshua 24, 14 through 24. And in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he had done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord God, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. May God, as we walked in this morning, as I looked across the audience from the rear coming forward, my eyes somehow specifically fell on some of you young men, young ladies who are here this morning. And as we have read this chapter together, I think that we can look at this reading, what we have read, and look at it as a direct message to you, and a direct message really to all of us. As Joshua is speaking to the children of Israel of making a commitment, calling today on whom you will serve. And as we think back on the time when Joshua spoke these words, and I know I mention this oftentimes, but we do get disconnected from those actual events that have taken place to our day and our life and how we live today. But this is a time that Joshua spoke to the children of Israel, and he didn't say what you will never find in Scripture. He didn't say it here, and you'll never find it anywhere by any prophets or any servants of the God, servants of God that would actually tell a young man or an old man, doesn't matter, a young lady, to consider the law of God and choose later on in life what you will do. Now, when presented with the Word, with who God is, with who we are, the call is always, choose today whom you will serve. So when we think of it in literally that, choose today, you young men will make a choice today, and you young ladies will make a choice today. And we, brothers and sisters, will make a choice today. All of us together, we've been to choose today. So now we have to look at ourselves, brothers and sisters, of our walk. There's several responses to the call of God that we respond to him in certain ways. And The only way to respond is what the word calls us to, and that is to yield our hearts, that he would be supreme, what Jesus Christ himself said, to love the Lord thy God and to love your neighbor as yourself. That is the only proper choice to make today. Love him with all your heart. Love him with all your soul, with all your might, with all the loving that you can love, with love him and your neighbor as yourself. And then there's the way that we see the Pharisees were, they responded to God. They responded to his call. They responded. But their response was focused on self. It was self-love first. Not God, not man, but self. And then there's also a response of only of what is the perception of others going to be about me, of me, which kind of falls back into the self-love category. But when we love ourselves, we can't be too concerned about others because it's all about me. And so then my religion, my choice that I make is ruled not by God's law, but by fear of God. Because what is in it for me? So my question then will be, what do I need to do to be saved? And my focus is only on me and what I need to do to be saved. And not the question that I need to ask, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Because what the Lord will have me to do is to love him and love my fellow man, which means that which he wants me to do is live for him and serve my fellow man and be concerned for the soul of my fellow man. That is my love towards God. Self-love doesn't do that. Self-love is only concerned about what must I do to be saved? What do I need to do? And so we read the law of God and we react to it in a way in which which, let's say for instance, I will compare my life to the life of you or someone else or another minister or an elder. And the more we do that, the more comfort we will find for my own life. And we even read of David, let's say, a man after God's own heart, to read about the sin that he committed. And then we take comfort in those, in the patriarchs of old, and the sin in which they committed. We find comfort in it because it's self-love. Well, look, God forgave them. God understands my frailty and he will forgive me also. It's about me. And so our focus then isn't on God and his love and loving him and seeing what wilt thou, Lord, have me to do? But rather the focus is on what must I do? And we do that which is a minimum. We take and so our service to our God is activated by fear. And when our service to our Lord is activated by fear, then we can't love our fellow man, which shows us then that we don't love God, which then puts us into a question of whom really do we serve. David, after he sinned, he said in Psalm 51, he says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Okay, it's through his repentance that the joy of his salvation can be restored. So we will never commit a sin using or the comparison in the light of a previous sin of anyone in Scripture or anyone that we may know currently. Because if we do that, we are banking, so to speak, on God's love, mercy, and my ability to repent later for what I will do right now, which my heart is bent on doing. That which I will do, which I know I should repent of, which I know I shouldn't do, but I will do, because I know that I can repent. And so, what is that? That's self-love. I will do what I want to do, because ultimately, that's who I serve. And so we become deceived. We become deceived in our service to our Lord. And we live deceived lives. But David said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. And he says, then, what then? Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. This is what the Lord will reply to us when we ask him, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? So my concern has to be that I would teach transgressors of thy ways, the ways of the Lord, his ways. And then only through the knowledge of his ways, the knowledge of who our Lord is, then sinners can be converted unto our Lord. That's love. That is a life driven, activated, a pulse within us, a love that will cause us to live in such a manner in which we can, because of our love for our God and our fellow man, we will speak of his ways. Not my ways, not what I think, but the holiness to which God is calling us unto. And if we say, well, if we lay that strict of a measure before someone, they can't handle it. So we need to lessen it a little bit, or not bring out the full impact of what it means to serve our God, of the change that is required in our hearts. Choose today who you will serve, Joshua is saying. Choose. It's either God, or in serving God, we know his ways. And we know that we must die. And that's the hardest thing for any of us to do. To accept his ways, to ask the Lord to restore the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. One who is focused on self, okay, will never be able to say, as we read, will never be able to respond. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Because self-love is always condemning in some way. Because when we read the law of God, we have to have condemnation. And so our consciences are pricked, and we have to do something with that. And we will choose to respond, because whenever our consciences are pricked, God is telling us, choose today who you will serve. And so we will do something with that. We will make a choice. We will either deaden our conscience, or we will choose the Lord. And then, because he says, the condemnation does not come to those who walk after the Spirit. To walk after the Spirit means to walk after the law of God, which we are to teach transgressors, to bring them to salvation. To have the joy of the Lord, to have his Spirit, means that there's no condemnation. Paul spoke of that often. Paul spoke of the love that he had. Paul spoke of his service to his Lord and the desire to be with him. You know, we sang in the hymn this morning of what it means to perish. To perish means to be with the one whom we cherish. To perish is to be with the one whom we cherish. So, is that where we are in our life? Are we at the point in our lives where we could totally, completely look forward to the day in which God will call us from this life, to spend the life to see Him? It's not about the city that is late. The streets are laid with gold. It's not. It's about seeing Jesus. That is our love. He is our love. He is our focus. He is our all. He is all in all. And Paul always spoke of us looking at Christ and seeing Him in everything, and seeing to it that our lives are focused on Him, and those things which we do, the way in which we live our lives, our focus is on Jesus Christ. Moses also said, he spoke to the people of Israel, and he said, "Whose side are you on?" So again, a question is being asked. Whose side are you on? Who will you choose? And brothers and sisters and my dear friends, we often put that off for another day. We just kick it down the road, which really just shows us that we serve ourselves. We've already made the decision. When we don't make this decision to serve God, we've made the decision to serve ourselves. Other gods, self, it's all the same thing. Because other gods are pleasing to self. Other things, other idolatries, things that are in this life that make me have a happiness, a moment of euphoria, of a feeling of feeling good and wanting those things for myself. That's serving those gods which are ultimately serving myself. But I will never then be able to say, as David did, "Restore in me that the joy of my salvation, of thy salvation, so that I can teach others." If our fear is what we will do, we will live a life that is morally good. We can live a life that is morally upstanding and looked at by many as a good man and a good woman, good people, but never reaching the holiness to which God is calling us to. When Joseph ran from his master's house, it was the thought of sinning against his God. You know, how often do we have that approach to the temptations, to the reactions that we might have towards one another? I dare not respond to you in a way in which I will put you beneath me in the sense of I'm better than you and dismiss you because I've sinned against my God. And so my love for Him, again, does not permit me to be angry with you, to belittle you. It doesn't permit me. If I am that way, I'm lacking in my love, which ultimately is a lack of faith, which will show me that I've made a decision today that I will not serve the Lord. And In making those decisions, dear ones, we know that God is a God of love, a God of mercy, a God of compassion beyond what any of us can ever have, unless we are in Him. When we are in Him, we will have the same love, compassion, and mercy. But God is also a God of judgment. And those are the things that the Pharisees couldn't accept. The Pharisees rejected the fact that they will be judged for their lack of love, because they were all about doing. And when that becomes our focus, dear ones, we've lost sight of whom we serve. We've lost sight of whom we serve. Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve Him." They said, "We are witnesses." So then he says, "Now therefore," okay, "you've made the choice. You were called to make a choice today. You made a choice. So now put away the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel." What does that mean? Submit. Submit your heart unto Him. You made a choice. Give Him now your heart. And in giving Him your heart, the joy of salvation, His Spirit directs you, empowers us. And so you, my dear young soul, who is sitting and wondering, can I serve Him? Can I make this choice today to serve Him? Can I do it? The Lord always tells us, count the cost. What will it cost you? It will cost you everything. So what he says by that is not, just like what Joshua is saying here, incline your heart unto God. Put away everything. Put it all away. And so, my dear young soul, and those outside of Christ, don't fear that you cannot do it, because I will be the first to tell you, you cannot do it. But if you incline your heart unto God, if you submit unto Him, He empowers. But you have to die to yourself. And so what is it that takes us to that? Our faith in Christ. Our faith, when we read the scripture, we believe. And all of you here believe. I know that. You wouldn't be here. You would not be here if you didn't believe there's a God. You would not be here if you didn't believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. You would not be here. I know you believe that. But that faith now needs to be a faith that transforms. Because the fruit of faith is love. Love for our God. Love for our Lord. Love for our fellow man. Which gives us hope. Which gives us hope. And so we don't live in fear as man fears. We don't live under these constrictions that man lives under. We live, as David says, the joy of his salvation is full within us. And so I'm going to tell you through the scripture, my dear soul outside of Jesus Christ, you have that which it takes to serve Him when you incline your heart unto Him. If you do it just because you're supposed to, just because your minister is telling you, just because your parents are telling you, just because your friends are doing it, you will never receive that power. The power comes through, I believe in God. And I see what He has done for me. I see the love that He has for me. And it causes me to mourn. What does it mean? Just to cry because you heard the word of God? No. It means to mourn over. Be sorry for that which you have done. The way you have acted towards your fellow man, towards towards your God, the one who's created and sustained you and given you life today to come to church today, to hear his word, to be able to respond. But he's asking you, choose today. Choose today. And we all will. And so we all will leave here, and we will be faced with the words that Joshua said here. If you're going to say, I will serve the Lord, which I believe we will say, I want to serve him. I want to be a better Christian. But dear ones, that doesn't work if I right away say, okay, now I'm not going to do this. And so then we are more concerned with the sins of commission, the things that we will do. We're concerned about what we will do. We better not do this anymore because I'm not allowed. And we omit the greatest commandment, to love our Lord and our neighbor as ourselves. In that commandment, dear brothers and sisters, my dear friends, there's power. There's a greater power than no other power in no nuclear energy. No other power can do what love can do. Love is not a license to sin. The love of God does not give us freedom to sin. The love of God does not give us an explanation of his mercy is so great that I can do this or this. Or he will overlook. No, as David wrote, when we do sin, we need to have that restored, and that comes through our repentance and our love for him. The people answered, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. I believe, dear ones, that every one of us will say this exact same thing. God forbid that I would serve another god. But when we think of other gods, we think right away of idols and different, you know, Buddhas and different things like that. Of course we're not going to serve that. But the other gods are as that which Paul explains our covetousness, those things that we crave, those things that we desire, those things that we want, which means what? Our God is me. And he says, God forbid that we should serve other gods, that we should forsake the Lord, because when I serve myself, I have forsaken the living God. When my life is controlled by my needs, by my wants, by my comforts, by my, then I have forsaken the Lord. But when my life is controlled by my fellow man, my love for you, so that you could, my dear friend, understand the ways of the Lord, so that you would be able to turn from your transgressions, as David said, restore to me the joy of that salvation, so that I can preach through my life, through my words, through my encounters, through everything, the love of Christ, so that they could be saved. Otherwise, I have forsaken him. The Lord is our God. He it is that has brought us out of the house of bondage. He it is that releases you, my dear friend, out of the house of bondage of serving self. That's bondage. We never see, dear ones, one who lives in Christ torn as he goes to sleep, troubled by what someone said, what I'm going to say back, what I'm going to do. I can't believe this. I can't believe this. One in Christ goes to sleep in peace. Because he didn't react with anger. He didn't belittle someone. There's nothing that the conscience isn't stirred the joy of the salvation, he's full because he's loved the Lord and he loves his fellow man. He would never do something to hurt someone else. When we do, brothers and sisters and dear friends, be assured, as sure as we are here today, that we are serving ourselves. We've all had moments of this, brothers and sisters. We've all had moments of this. But let's not discount it. Let's not write it off. Let's look at it as, I have failed. I failed because my faith that is supposed to move mountains was not great enough to bear the fruit of love, which allowed me then to belittle someone or to fall into a sin or to desire something for me or to be jealous or to envy someone or to react in ways that are not that which displays Jesus Christ and him crucified, whom Paul said, I will only preach him. Only him. He is our strength. He is our all. He is the direction. He is the way. He's the one that has died for you, my dear friend. He's the one that has shed his blood. He is the one that is calling you today and asking you, who will you serve? And he's also bringing us to that remembrance, dear brothers and dear sisters, of whom we have chosen to serve. But maybe we have forsaken him. We have forsaken him because our thoughts are too centered on ourselves. Our thoughts are too centered on me being having the last word. Me, you know, whenever it's me, it's never about him. And when it's not about him, we have forsaken him. And so we are all being called today and being asked, who will you serve? Will you serve the Lord thy God, thy creator? Or will you serve other gods? Which really circles all the way back around to serving myself. So may God be with us, brothers, sisters, and dear friends, all of us, as we have come together this morning, as our Lord is probing our hearts, seeking to bring to us the power of his word, the truth of his word, his love for us, his mercy and compassion toward us, that is always calling us back to him. He's never rejected anyone. He's never rejected anyone. And he never will. He will only, it's us that will reject him. And so he's saying, choose today to serve me. May God bless us in our moments of decision. Amen.